is talking about heaven. And I'll give you the context of why he said this. It's an amazing, the timing of Jesus on bringing on the subject of heaven. John 14, 1 to 4. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." When Jesus starts out with this idea of the disciples being troubled, it's prior to that he's letting them know, "My time has come, I'm leaving." Now, that shook them to the core, right? Because they were together for 3.5 years. They were experiencing heaven on earth, and now heaven was departing, and it shook them to the core. That's like a paper cut on the soul. Ouch, where are you going? And so Jesus is letting them know it's okay, and therefore he starts to talk about heaven. And so these words are powerful to them. He's comforting their hearts. And so we get troubled, right? We get troubled and we need to remind ourselves of heaven. We're troubled. For 30 years, these high school shootings, each time I hear it, I'm getting desensitized. Do I understand how evil sometimes our society can get? Troubled by the worst inflation in 40 years. Troubled by health. I was praying for you on the way down. I said, "Lord, would you touch us and bring physical healing in this body?" As I'm thinking about preaching on healing, troubled by friends that you thought their marriages were stable, and in a matter of months, it becomes unraveled, and you think, what? Troubled by what may happen to our country in the months ahead with election year that we have. Jesus addresses troubled hearts with the wonders of heaven. It's not a detachment from the present, but it's a attachment to the future to bring it to our present, right? Set your hope fully on the grace to be revealed, bringing the future to the present. And so heaven is our new real estate, without rust, without black mold, and no mortgage payments. Heaven is a perfect ecosystem where, I was talking to the kids, you can walk up to animals and pet them. Heaven's a peaceful place, a strong economy. It's not $5 for a cup of coffee. $5 for a cup of coffee. Heaven's a place where there's no troubles, no accidents, no death. Heaven's a place of undaunted joy and permanent peace. Mostly heaven, because Jesus lives in the neighborhood. So I want to look at five wonders of heaven. Five wonders in Jesus' own words. The first wonder, it's in your bulletin there, it's the wonders of living with him. Jesus said this, "My Father's house." Heaven begins to take shape for us in our minds as he uses this expression, "My Father's house." Not clouds, not a nameless space, not little cherub with bow and arrow, little chubby things. It's a house. It's a personal, my Father's house. Do you remember you had friends growing up with that you really liked, and they invited over, you were invited over to their house, and you were so excited to see their things and their life and their parents? Well, now we're going to see Jesus' Father, and we're going to talk about that another time. But Jesus used two words here to describe his Father's house. Jesus said, first, there are many rooms. Then he said, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Rooms, plural, place, singular. Interesting. He combines individuality with community in that statement. Beautiful. Jesus is saying place for you personally. He's preparing. Listen, parents, when you created your home and your culture, didn't you set it up the way that your kids would like in part, right? My daughter, when she was a teenager, she said, "Dad, can you paint my room?" And I was in the painting business. That's the last thing I want to do on weekends, right? When you're painting all week, you don't want to paint on Saturday. And I said, what color would you like? And she said, Dad, I love pink and I love chocolate. And so what we did was we painted two walls chocolate and two walls pink. And then the outlets were the opposite. You walked in, it looked like Willy Wonka's room, right? But to her, that was like, for her, that was her heaven, if you will. Jesus is using this word room personally to you. I love this choice of words. Yet within this context of this is the highest level. He said many rooms, community. Guess what? You're actually going to like your neighbor. They're not going to be rude and obnoxious, right? Maybe they might be loud. If they're Italian, they're going to be loud. But this is a picture he gives us. The term place is singular, indicates cozy, quiet, functional, intimate. It's a place of solace, reflection without interruption, restful, peaceful. The term room implies spacious, plenty, not clustered. People that are dear to you, near to you. But within this many rooms, it's festive. We're all together. Amazing place, isn't it? I used to dislike this phrase growing up as a kid. I was reminded with my mother and celebrating her 50th wedding anniversary. I used to dislike this statement. I mean, I hated it. All good things must come to an end. Have you heard that one? Jesus is going to turn that on its head. All good things will last forever. That's going to be heaven. The wonders of heaven. The second wonder we see here that Jesus talks about is the wonder of preparation. This word preparation. Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place. To prepare a place indicates that Jesus is going to invest time and energy and thought for you as to what that looks like. He takes personal pleasure in thinking of you personally, of preparing a place. This is not a snap of a finger. It's a thoughtful God thinking of you in this specific place. Hand-picked, hand-sketched, and handcrafted for you. Preparation. My friend Frank died a couple years ago, loved wood. And I was saying to Edna, his wife, he's going to have access to every kind of wood possible. Can you imagine how much fun Frank's going to have? Can you picture heaven that way? Preparation. Jesus is looking to you. He knows. He knows the wood, the colors, the items, the shape, maybe the plants, maybe the personal pictures, down to the last detail. I remember Johnny Erickson Tada when she talked about when she can't wait to meet Jesus. Do you remember her story? Yeah, most of you do. Paraplegic, I think is the right word. And so she said this, when I see Jesus and he takes that wheelchair and he throws it away in hell, and her audience started to laugh hearing her say that. But I couldn't help but think, and I don't know, but I couldn't help to think that that would be in her room to remind her of all those years that Jesus was with her as she struggled. And she talks about how that place of the wheelchair became a place of amazing grace that God gave her to live through that all those years. And I thought, preparation, what's our place going to look like? Aren't you curious? Aren't you curious? Like, I'm just thinking of you both when I had dinner with you. Your place was amazing. You know, your decorations, your design, your craftsmanship. It was beautiful. But what's heaven going to be like, right? Right? So the wonders. Then Jesus says these amazing words, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, for you also to be where I am. This is the third wonder, the wonders of a returning plan. This verse changed it for me because we talk in such a way, we talk this way, we're on our way to heaven. I can't wait for heaven. as if we're the pilot, as if we're in charge, as if, you know, we're thinking in this dimension, I am going to heaven. And for those of us in our family here who have suffered physically, the prospect of heaven is in their language. But here Jesus is saying, I'm coming for you. That was a switch for me. It's not so much I'm going to heaven, it's about heaven's coming for me. Heaven's coming for you. Doesn't that switch it for you? I'm coming for you. I love those words of Jesus. Do you see the difference? Every Christmas, I read a story on the Navy SEALs. I have for about a dozen years, maybe more. They're just a top-notch military machine in some ways. The one book that stood out to me was Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell. I read it three times over the years. It was called Operation Red Wing. Four Navy SEALs were in 2006 dropped off in Afghanistan. Michael Murphy, Matthew Axelson, Danny Diaz, and Marcus Luttrell. They were sent there to take out a Taliban leader in Afghanistan that was up to no good. During their mission, they were discovered by goat herders, and they were in this juxtaposition. What do we do with this guy? He'll probably report on us. Well, we can't tie him up here and leave him here. He'll die. We're not going to shoot him. So they let the goat herders go. They did report on them, and they came back. The Taliban came after them. And I'm not going to give you the detail, but Michael Murphy was quite a hero. The three men died, but Marcus was all alone by himself and talks about this struggle of wandering alone and injured. Well, Luttrell says here, I was discovered by Mohammed Gulab, a local Pushtun. Took him in, hid him in his home while the Taliban was looking for him. And when they came for him, he protected them, sent one of his neighbors off to an American base to come rescue him. And Marcus talks about what his relationship to Muhammad means to him now, that one of their own looked out for him in his lonely time. And to me, that's just a small picture, Jesus coming for us in the greatest divide that there ever was. I'm coming back for you. Mark his words, his mission is very personal to him. You are his own. He does not forget, like Marcus was not forgotten. Wonder number four is the wonder of belonging. The wonder of belonging. He says these words, I want you to be where I am. I want you. I want you to be where I am. That's very personal, right? I love this picture of he wants you. We belong to the Father. The longing of Jesus' words, let that sink in. I long for you. I am coming back for you. He doesn't say that nonchalant. He doesn't say that matter of fact. He doesn't say that like a stoic general. He says that like a father that wants his kids home. I am coming for you. That is personal belonging. So how do you picture Jesus now in those words? I'm coming for you. The eyes of unmatched affection. The arms of eternal tenderness. The face of perpetual smile. I remember my wedding, I was smiling so much, my face was hurting. There'll be no hurt in heaven. His smile will be authentic. The voice of kind affection. The heart of the Father, removing loneliness and boredom and randomness to a place where we belong. To speak of heaven is to speak of God's enormous presence. No more doubt in our heads. Reminded me of a worship song. Doubt would drown in perfect love. Listen, heaven will be beauty indescribable. Songs impressionable, people wonderful, and Jesus unforgettable. In heaven, sorrow will be sacked. Suffering will be terminated permanently. Sickness will be handcuffed. Crying will be a bygone. pain will be foreign and shame will be stymied, and joy will never dip on the Richter scale in heaven. It will never dip. John has this revelation in 21. He said this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" You see, it's about the presence of God. We will know his presence. It will be tangible. It will be personal. It will be evident. It will be intoxicating joy to be in his presence. The landscape will be inspirational. The valley of a good king will be there. Notice John said a new earth. Heaven is going to be here, made new. Think about that one. Heaven will be here, but a new earth. We'll talk about that. Streets to stroll in his presence, friends to visit in his presence, hills to ascend in his presence. I hope this doesn't sound too sacrilegious, but I love throwing a football. And I can't wait to have a catch. Jesus, go long. What's your thing? Right? What's your thing? Jonathan Edwards is one of the great leaders of our colonial times. He was an incredible revivalist in the Great Awakening. God used significantly. He became the first president of Princeton, which when it was used to be a training school for pastors. He said this early in his 20s. He made many resolutions that impressed me. He made resolves. Resolve is that you intend to give yourself fully to something. One of them was about heaven, and this is what he said. "Resolved to endeavor to obtain for myself as much happiness or joy in the other world as I possibly can." Did you hear that? "Resolved to endeavor to obtain for myself as much joy in the other world as I possibly can." It's not about heaven later. It's about heaven now. Right? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven." Now. Now. This is the wonder we belong. What an amazing, amazing picture. You know, when you look at the scriptures and you begin to see this description of this wedding banquet, I don't know if that moves you, but when I was in Berlin in Germany, I went there for 5 years ministering to our missionaries. I remember on a plane flight, I connected with this young couple, Anthony and Michelle, and we hit it off. We talked, and then we ended up texting for 3 years. Well, they invited Elle and I to the wedding, and Elle and I kind of laughed. It was like, I met them once, and we're going to the wedding. We went to their wedding. It was Syrian Orthodox evangelical wedding. And we went to the reception. Oh my goodness. Imagine this reception. This was just the appetizer, not the main dish. There were 12 tables of different foods. A cheese table, a bread table, a meat table, a vegetable table, a fruit table, and a seafood. I mean, Elle and I were laughing. We were taking pictures of every table. Like, the arrangement was like spectacular artists. Those that are artists would appreciate that. Like, don't you wives and men, whoever, isn't part of the pleasure of serving others is how you arrange it? This is a picture for me of heaven. Like, can you imagine the great wedding feast this is gonna be, right? Get a hold of that. In heaven, there'll be no calorie counts, no diets, no high blood pressure. Amen. Yes.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. No disease. No doctor's appointments. No 15 prescriptions at night. No more. And the greatest of all evil will be destroyed once and for all. It will be gone. Jesus, I heard someone said this when I was young. I wrote it down as a kid. Jesus saved us from the penalty of sin. Jesus is saving us from the power of sin. And Jesus will save us from the presence of sin and evil. So finally, the wonders of knowing our destiny. Jesus says these words. I'm sure it kind of took the disciples off a little bit. He says, you know the way, the place where I'm going. Think about those words. They're like, we don't know where you're going. Well, he's departing. Okay, you're going to heaven. And we know the way? Like what street, what city, what mountain do we need to go to? Did we miss something, Master? And this is what he was trying to tell them. You know me. You know the way. If you know me, you'll find it, right? This is why near-death experiences, I'm starting to study these. People that have a moment, a glimpse, and then they're returned. And so there's been a lot of debate on this. But we know our destiny. We know our destiny. So how do we bring this together? And I bring this to a close. What regrets do you live with that you still have a chance to make right in this life? Go after it. Make it right. What offenses have not been mended in the family? Maybe they need to be mended. Julie asked how the 50th wedding anniversary was for us, for my parents. As everybody was speaking for an hour and a half, as we were ministering to you, my heart was melting of things that I was holding on to. I needed that healing. It's a long story. With heaven being so close by, how about in these coming weeks, read the scriptures on heaven and get ready to come. One practical thing I do is on my iPhone, I have four categories of people that I can't wait to see in heaven. The first one is the top 10 people from scripture I can't wait to meet. King David's number one. Can't wait to see David. I said to Ellen on the way down to the 50th, I said, I wonder if I'll be able to see David's life revisited. Like, will God just give me a chance? Hey, David, can we just visit for the weekend and just look at your life on film kind of thing? I want to see what it was like in real time back then, you know? So I keep the top 10. The top 10 people in church history I want to meet. I think I said this to you in the beginning. Teresa of Avila is my number one. I've joked with family members about this. I said, I may be so excited to see Teresa, I may jump over some family members. Hold it, cousin, hold it. Teresa's right there. I'll be right with you. Because I can't wait to see her. I also have in here top 10 family members I can't wait to see. My mother lost a child before I was born. I get to meet that boy, my brother. And top 10 friends I can't wait to meet. One way to kind of get ready. Who would you put? Who's on your list? Write it down. When I look at those, it just sort of stirs my heart. Can't wait to go. To wrap this up, Homeward Bound was a movie that came out in the 1990s. Disney had taken the book, and it was called Incredible Journey, and they made it a movie back in the 1960s. Well, there was a remake done in the 1990s, and my kids love Homeward Bound movie. It's a story centered on a family that's going away for a long period of time. And so what the family does with their three kids, each of the kids have an animal that they love. One of them is Chance, he's a bulldog puppy. Sassy is a Himalayan cat. And Shadow is a golden retriever. And the kids have to drop them off at a friend's house together while they go off on this long vacation. Well, the animals don't like it. And what the story is, if you remember, do you remember seeing this? They make their way back to see their owners because that's what it was all about. They wanted to be with their master. And so they go through this incredible, perilous, adventurous life together. And it just sort of is a metaphor to us. We're on the same journey. We just can't wait to get back to see our master. That's who we really want to be with. And that's what heaven is all about. So we're going to take communion today. And so if the elders would get ready. And as we take communion, I want us to be thinking of these words of Jesus. And again, he mentions heaven in Matthew 26. So yeah, man, you can come down as I read this passage. Jesus speaking here said that, or this first it says this, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So we partake for the forgiveness of sins. So take some time to say, Lord, what is there? What do I need to get right with you? What sins are lingering that you've paid a great price for me? Not just for the forgiveness of sins, but for to come back, to go home, to be with him. And I just find this last phrase, I've said it here before with you, I will not drink of it until we're together. Think about that. Jesus is putting something on hold till we're all together because he understands the significance of what his death did for us. It's like my death made it possible for you all to be here, and I'm going to wait till you come and you're going to understand things even more. That's amazing.